December. 2020 is almost gone. And 2021 is right on the verge. You want the junior church kids? Take them, please. There they go. Junior church kids can go. I almost forgot to send the kids. We don't always send them away, but they have special things down there for them. Did you find Proverbs 27 yet? All right, when you find Proverbs 27, go over to James chapter 4 and just find James 4. Just find those two places. Put a, you got a finger or a thumb or a piece of paper or something. Put that in there. We're going to read Proverbs 27 first, and then we'll go over to James chapter 4. Yes, yes, I have a New Year's message that I'm going to bring today. Every last Sunday of every year, most pastors bring a New Year's message of some sort, some way. And I've got one for you today, too. Amen. So we'll see how it goes. Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Just going to read one verse here. It says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." We don't know from day to day what's going to happen in any of our lives. We have no idea, no clue, no idea. We have plans, we think. We know what's going to happen later today. We're planning a service tonight at 6 o'clock. Hopefully many of you will come. We're planning tomorrow is Monday. Some are going back to work, and some are going off to do whatever. And we're planning for a New Year's Eve service, and we're planning for a service next week. And we're all planning things in the future, but you really don't know. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Now go over to James, one verse in James chapter 4, verse 14. James 4:14. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Father, thank you that we could be here today. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God that we can have a message from today, and we can look up verses. And Lord, this book can help us to have a life that is pleasing to you. I pray that you would be with each and every one that is listening. There are several possibly that are listening outside of this church today online. Lord, we pray that you would bless them, and Lord, we pray that they would be encouraged by the message and challenged by the message. We pray, Lord, for those that are too sick to be in church, that you would just touch them in a great and mighty way. And Lord, just we pray for your grace and mercy and love to be upon them. We pray, Lord, for everybody that's inside of these walls. We pray that you would speak to each and every heart that's here. Lord, you know what we need. You know what we've gone through in this year. We know, you know, Lord, what 2021 is going to bring to each and every one of us. And so, Lord, we pray that we as Christians would just live our lives every single day as, Lord, maybe our last. But, Lord, help us to just bring honor and glory to you. Lord, I pray that. I pray, Lord, for anybody that may not be saved here today, that you would speak to their hearts and that today would be their day of salvation. Lord, we thank you and praise you again for the church. We thank you, Lord, for each and every person that came out today. Lord, we just pray that you would continue to bless us and move upon us in a great and mighty way. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We don't know what holds tomorrow. We don't know what 2021 is going to bring to us. I put in my notes, "So long, 2020. This has been a very strange year. The coronavirus, riots and chaos. I heard that murder hornets arrived in the U.S. in 2020. The West Coast wildfires, hurricanes, flooding, the elections, just to name a few things that 2020 has dished out to us. And we could go on and on and on about other things. But what will 2021 bring us? You know, that's a mystery, right? We don't know what 2021 is going to bring us. We look at 2020 and we say, what a terrible year with all of these things. Well, 2021 could be even worse. You say, well, thanks for that. Well, I'm just kind of preparing you. I'm just saying, we don't know. 2021 may be a fantastic year for everybody. Problems may just dissipate and disappear. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But we have the uncertainty about the vaccine, that now everybody is talking about the vaccine that is supposed to cure and help and be with. Some people are for it and some people are completely against it. But we don't know what that's going to take place. We don't know what the vaccine is going to do. We have a year of uncertainty politically coming up. We don't know how things are going to go between now and January 20th. Well, we'll know certainly before January 20th. But we have a year of uncertainty politically. I would personally love for the rapture to happen. Now. I'll take the rapture right now. I'll take the shout of the archangel and the trumpet sound right now. I'd just soon love to see Jesus Christ right now. But if he doesn't come in 2020, I would love to have him come in 2021. Wouldn't you? Amen. Amen. Maybe 2021 means new relationships for people. Maybe a new job. Maybe a greater spiritual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How about as a church? Wouldn't we love to see more souls saved? Wouldn't we love to be able to disciple more people and get more people in to the house of God? There's so many things that we could do and we might do, and we don't know what we're doing sometimes. But this 2020, year of 2020, is coming to a quick close. And we're embarking on a whole new year and a whole new time. Again, James 4:14 says, whereas whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Our life is very, very short compared to eternity. I want to give you two quick things here this morning, and then we'll send you home to eat, get prepared, take a nap, get back here tonight. Amen. Sound good? All right. Number one, we need to repent. We need to repent. I don't know who's listening out there in cyberspace or in their living rooms or wherever they are. I have no clue. I don't see that. I don't know that. I do know who's listening to me in this room, because I can see you and you can see me. And so I know who's listening here. I don't know who's listening outside of these walls. But God has allowed you to still be alive today. Amen. Now, as I look out here on this crowd of people, I think most of you are probably born again. I would hope and pray that I'd love this. I hope and pray you're all saved. You're all born again. But that I don't know. I only know that I am. Really, that's the only one in this room that I know is saved is me. And you know if you're saved or not, where you're sitting. And the same with people that are watching us online. I don't know if you're saved or if you're not saved. But God has allowed you the time to be right here, right now, where you're at, either in this room or watching and listening to us outside of these walls. God has had grace and mercy with you just to allow you to be here today. God has shown his grace and mercy to you. If you're not saved, if you're not born again, God has again shown his grace and mercy by allowing you to either be present in this room or listening online. God has shown his grace and mercy to you. He's extended his mercy to you. He's extended his long suffering to you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's allowed you one more opportunity to trust his Son, Jesus Christ, to be saved. One more opportunity. What a blessing. Y'all thank God for that. God gave you one more. Gave you one more opportunity. One more chance. There are enormous uncertainties in life. We read about them here. We can't even boast about tomorrow because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. We have no clue what tomorrow will bring in our life. I often think this, and as I was preparing this, I thought about this. Why wait to be saved? Why do people wait to be saved? Why do some people have the attitude that, well, you know, I'll get saved someday? Okay. Someday may never come to you. You have no idea. You'd have no clue what could happen in your life. You might think that you've got lots of time on this earth, but you don't have another guarantee for another breath beyond the breath that you and I just took. We don't know. We have some young people, teenagers, young adults, 20s, 30s, 40s. You're all young to me. I mean, I'm old enough to be your grandfather, father, great-grandfather. We don't know what's going to take place. No idea. Be born again. Get saved if you're not saved. I would say don't wait to be saved. Don't wait to be saved. You may wait one breath too long. John, go over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We, as adults, and young people, teenagers, I'm sure that we've all experienced the death of a loved one in our life. Some have come quick and unexpected, and some have been somewhat expected, even though you still don't know when a person is going to die. I'll never forget when my father passed away, and I was driving school bus at the time, and Kathy was waiting for me outside of the bus garage, and I knew something was up when she was sitting out there, and I got in the vehicle, and she said, "Your father passed away." I had seen him that Monday. That was a Friday afternoon, and I saw him that Monday of that week, and I knew that he was going to die. Matter of fact, I was asking God to take him. He's a Christian, born again. I just, you know, to see your father, your loved one, to go through that horrible Lou Gehrig's disease was just... it was a difficult thing to watch. And so after a while, I got to the point where I said, "Lord, he's saved. You can take him anytime, please." You know, that was mercy for him. But when we got the message, when we got the call, it was a shock. Right. Even though I knew he was dying. I mean, and he was ready to go. He'd just soon go. But it was always, you still don't know. When my mother had her massive stroke just a few years ago, we knew that she was going to die. The doctor told us she is not going to make it much longer. And we were all in the hospital, and I had to leave the hospital. And when as soon as I got back home from the hospital, my brother called and says, "She's gone." It's a tough thing to go through. Amen. Even though I knew she was going to die. I knew it. It's still a tough thing to go through. You just don't know. You don't know. Gene's brother-in-law, out shoveling snow a couple of weeks ago, just shoveling snow, has a massive heart attack, and I believe he died on the spot. I don't know the full story, but he died right there, just shoveling snow. You have no idea. That's why you need to be prepared. Why wait to be saved? Why wait to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? John chapter 3, you know these verses. In verse 3, Jesus, he's talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is coming to Jesus for some spiritual advice, and the Lord has given him the best spiritual advice that he could give anybody. He says in verse 3 of John 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." There's no way you're going to see God's kingdom without being born again. Amen. Saved and born again are the same thing. It's the same thing. Verse 7, Jesus said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Must be born again. Why wait to be saved when you can be saved right now? I wouldn't even, if you're not saved, I wouldn't even wait to the invitation. I wouldn't even wait to the end of the service. I would just, I'd bow your head, or just in your mind, bow your head to the Lord and say, "Lord, I don't know you personally, and I just need to be saved right now," and cry out to God right now and trust him as Lord and Savior. Repent of your sin. Turn from your ways and turn to the way that God has. Turn to what God has for you. Admit the fact that you're a sinner. You know you're a sinner. Nobody has to tell you that. You're over 5 years old, you know you're... If you're 2 years old, you probably... The 2-year-old Little Pauly there, sweet little kid, but man, I'm telling you, woo! Man, he's a cute little sinner, I'll tell you. Isn't he a cute little sinner? Everybody loves little Pauly, but boy, I tell you what, he's a what?
Handful.
She said it, I didn't. Yeah. I mean, we love them dearly, but these kids are just little sinners. They grow up to be big, big sinners. You get saved. You must be born again. John 3:16, you all know that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But do you know the last verse of John 3? Look at John 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You're either saved or you're not. You're either a child of God or a child of the devil. You choose. You pick. It's your choice. You either get adopted into the family of God or stay where you are. It's up to you. You can go to heaven when you die, or you can go to hell and spend eternity in a lake of fire after you die. It's up to you. You make that choice. God made his choice. Jesus made the choice to go to the cross and die and shed his blood for us. You choose where you want to spend eternity. Heaven or hell. Saved or lost. It's your choice. You make that choice. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance. What is repentance? You know what repentance is? Come here a minute. Yeah, I'm going to beat you up right now. Then I'm going to repent of it. No, I'm just teasing. Start walking down the aisleway. And when I tell you stop, stop. Stop. I didn't say turn around yet. Now, turn around. Come back here. That's repentance. Get it? You're walking away from God. And finally you stop in your tracks and you turn around. I'm a poor analogy of God. I'm not trying to do that. But that's what repentance is like. You're walking away from God, and then you finally stop and you turn around and you face God and you come back to God. Every person is born with their back towards God. And you've got to repent. You've got to turn around. You've got to turn away from your own ways and your own ideals and the things that you want to do in your life. And you need to recognize that God, Jesus Christ, is your Lord and Savior. And you need to stop what you're doing. You need to repent of your sin and turn to the Lord.
Amen.
That's what repentance is. Your back is towards God. You turn all the way around 180 degrees and you face God. That's repenting. Look at Acts chapter 16. Acts 16. Acts 16, look at verse 32. 16:32. Now let me go back to 30. 16:30, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This is Paul and Silas there in prison. And the corrections officer, the jailer, is now wanting to know how do I get saved? What do I do? What do I need to do? Verse 31, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Not only you, Mr. Jailer, but your whole house can be saved. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And you finish reading this, and his whole house, he got saved, and his whole house got saved.
Amen.
He was so much under conviction that he just wiped the stripes. I think it was probably this guy, this jailer, that gave that beating to Paul and Silas earlier in the day. And then made sure that they were fastened tight there in his jail, in his prison. But he wanted to know how to be saved. It was a result of, in verse 25, of Paul and Silas praying and singing at midnight. Yeah. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't say anything about attending church. Nothing about being baptized. Right. Nothing about going through all of the different religious things that so many people and religious leaders and churches teach today. It's not through any of that. It's just simple, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I am so glad that salvation is not complicated. Man complicates everything that man touches and does. He complicates everything. Have you ever taken a good look at our government? Talk about the ultimate of making everything complex. It's like, it's mind blowing. There's a law for every little tiny thing. There's a law for the way these seats are a certain height up off the floor in the back has got to be. There's a law for everything. Everything, everywhere you turn, there is a law nowadays. And it's just, it's incredible that man has confounded so many things. God says, you want to be saved? Just believe in my son, Jesus Christ. You really can't get it any simpler than that. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you got to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. You don't have to come to church. Those that are listening to us online, you don't have to come to this church to be saved. You can bow your head right now, right where you are, wherever it is that you are, and you can be saved right now. That's the blessing of salvation. It's not through the Baptist church or any other church for that matter. It's not through a man. It's not through a group. It's not through a dogma. It's none of that. Amen. It's not a creed. It's Jesus Christ died for you and me and wants to save your soul. Amen. You need to repent if you're not saved. Christian, are there some things that maybe you need to repent of as a Christian? Sometimes we don't like to do this, but maybe we ought to hit the rewind button of our life of 2020 and go back and see, is there some things in 2020 that, man, I need to repent of that. Probably would keep us all busy for a while praying and repenting. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, he said these words, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Examine. We need to examine ourselves to find out, are we really in the faith or not? Are we walking by faith? Are we living by faith? Are we talking by faith? Is there any faith in you whatsoever? There's probably some things in all of our lives, including this preacher, that we need to repent of. On a regular basis. Revelation 2:5 says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. John is writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to all the seven churches of Asia, the northern part of where Turkey is today. He was writing to all of those churches there. And as he was writing these different letters to these churches, again it says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works or else. I've underlined that in my Bible. Everywhere where the Lord says, or else. You ever say that as a parent to your kids? You better do this or else. Well, God is saying that to the churches. Or else, I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. The church needs to repent today. Christians need to repent today. Everybody needs to repent today. I know some Christians that have turned their back on God. And walked away from the Lord, walked away from church. I'm not saying the church is the end all of everything, but they've walked away from the church. They've walked away from God. They've turned their back on the Bible and on prayer and on witnessing. They just said, that's it. We're not doing this anymore. Christians can walk away from God. Thank God they're still saved, but they can walk away from the Lord. Repent. There may be some areas in your life today, Christian, that you need to repent of. Maybe you haven't been the Christian that you should be or should have been this year. Maybe you wanted to read your Bible, but you just didn't take the time to read your Bible this year. Maybe you wanted to be in church more, but you just weren't in church more. You wanted to pray more, but things happen, right? Other things come into your time, come into your life, keeps you from doing some of the things that God wants you to do or expects you to do. There's a lot of repenting that I believe that needs to be done. 2020 is about, we're about through with 2020. 2021 is coming. And that's the second point of this message I want to give you is, some of you are going to immediately throw a wall up, but I'm going to, let me explain. All right, can I finish the message, please? Resolve. Repent. Secondly, resolve. Webster says resolve means to fix in opinion or purpose. To determine in mind. That's what Webster says. Say it again. To fix in opinion or purpose. To determine in mind. The start of the new year, this is an article I put in the message. The start of the new year is often the perfect time to turn a page in your life, which is why so many people make New Year's resolutions. But why do so many people have a hard time keeping their resolutions? Researchers have looked at success rates of people's resolutions. The first 2 weeks usually go along beautifully, but by February, people are backsliding. And by the following December, most people are back where they started from. Yeah. Often, even further behind, the research says. According to U.S. News and World Reports, 80% of New Year's resolutions fail by February. 80%. That's an amazing statistic. A 2007 study by Richard Wiseman from the University of Bristol involving 3,000 people showed that 88% of those who set New Year resolutions fail. 88%. Despite the fact that 52% of the study's participants were confident of success at the beginning. Yeah, I think we can do this. No, they didn't. The University of Scranton's research suggests that just 8% of people achieve their New Year's goals, which means 92% of resolutions fail. You say, well, preacher, then why even bring this up? Because God is not a God of failure. Amen. All things are possible with God. If you want to go into this with the thought, hey, I just might as well be one of the 92% and fail, I'm going to fail anyway, right? So what's the use? Yeah, great attitude. Wonderful attitude. But God, with the Lord's help, you can do what God wants you to do. That's what I want us to think about here. Are there some things that God wants us to do that we can resolve to do them? I think we can. Maybe you don't want to make a New Year's resolution. Maybe you're against New Year's resolutions for the fact that I just said this. How about just trying some things? How about making some efforts? Make some goals. How about trying to do some things for God instead of walking around with a failure attitude that so many people have? These things that I want to give you here should be on the hearts and minds of every Christian, not just a handful of a few of the faithful ones that come all the time. I have several of these things written down. Number one is to bring more glory to God. To bring more glory to God. Isn't that a good thing to do, is to bring more glory to God? Should you resolve to bring more glory to God? I think we all should strive to do that. Let's not fall into the 92% of resolutions that fail when it comes to bringing glory to God. Let's say I'm going to bring glory to God in my life every day, starting right now. I'm not even going to wait for 2020 to leave and exit. I'm going to start bringing glory to God right now in my life. That should be a goal that we all have in our life. Is that something that can be achieved? Yes, it can be achieved. If you use God as your source of the power in your life and allow God to work through you, you can achieve bringing glory to God. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. Oh, by the way, God created you to bring glory to Him, yeah, not to bring glory to you. Amen. We ought to have the little motto in our minds, less of me and less for me. Less of me and less for me. That goes along with John chapter 3 and verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. Less of me and less for me. But usually that's the flip side. We want more for us. We want it to be about us. The average Christian's attitude is the opposite today. It's like, I must increase and he must decrease. It's a very poor attitude to have. But you know what? A lot of times we do it without even realizing it. We're living it every single day. When we make choices to not attend church like we should, not read our Bibles, not pray, you know what you're saying? I'm increasing and he is decreasing. Amen. Amen. Look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Now these resolutions or whatever you want to call them, goals, are not, they can be met. We can do these things. If we just put our hearts and minds to do them. And say, Lord, you know I can't do this without you. I need your help. You know what God will do? He'll help you. He will help you. Look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Would you say that Paul made a resolution or a goal that he was only going to bring honor and glory to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I say yes. I say yes on that. He said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. Paul made sure that everything that he did in his life would bring honor and glory to his Savior. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. First Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So the Bible mandates us and tells us that we are to bring honor and glory to God. That's just something God expects from His creation. Who created you anyway? You didn't evolve from some lower life form. You didn't come from a monkey or from some single cell amoeba way out in some pool of mush somewhere. You came from God. Amen. He created you. He gave you the ability to have life. He's given you this life. We are to give Him our lives back. Amen. We are to bring honor and glory to God. Colossians 3:17. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Folks, we just need to bring honor and glory to God in our life. Are you doing that? Are you bringing honor and glory, real honor and glory to the Lord in your life? The way you act, the way you talk, the way the things you do, the places you go, the things that that you're involved in your life. Are you really bringing honor and glory to God? That's, I believe, extremely important. Here's another one I wrote down. How about Philippians 3:10? Philippians 3:10. How about to know Christ better? To know Jesus Christ better. Every Christian's goal ought to be to know Jesus Christ the best that you can know him. How do you get to know somebody? You talk to them. They talk to you. Jesus talks to us. God talks to us through this book right here. That's why it's so important that you read this book every day. Do you know that only 32% of Protestants in America, 32% read their Bibles every day? They say they do anyway. Only 32% of Protestants, evangelical Protestants, say they read their Bible every day. I hope and pray that's not the case for Bible believers, because Protestants and Bible believers can be in a whole different category. I hope and pray that we would, you know, my goal would be to see 100% in this church of people reading their Bibles every day. And that's not asking too much from any of you. We need to have a goal in our life to know Christ better. He talks to us through his word. We talk to him through prayer. Communicate. That's how you get to know somebody better. You talk to them. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul wrote this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. That I may know him. How do you know him? You get to know him. You read about him. You spend time with him. You talk with him. He talks to you. You have that amazing fellowship that God can give us as a Christian to know Christ better. That ought to be a goal that all of us, that ought to be a resolution that we all, every born-again child of God, ought to have these resolutions that I'm going to name to you and give to you. To bring honor and glory to God and to know Christ better. That's just something that we should do. Look at another one in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm not going to get through all of these this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 14. 1 Peter 1, 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. God, one of his greatest attributes is his holiness. Our God is a holy God. What does it mean to be holy? It means to be without sin. Holiness is without sin. Holiness is an attribute of God. You say, well, I can't be holy. Nobody can be holy. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. I can't live like that. You know that, preacher. God knows that. Wait a minute. What does the Bible say? Mm-hmm. Be holy, for I am holy. You're a child of God. Yeah. If God is holy, why can't you and I be holy? Right. We're part of his family. We're part of his children. We're God is your Lord and Savior. Jesus is your Lord and Savior. God is your Father. Why can't you be holy? Because we don't try. Because we have that attitude of failure immediately without even thinking about it. I'm going to fail anyway, and that's it. I'm just going to be one of the 92 percenters. I'm just going to fail. I can't do this. I can't do any of this. Great attitude. I'm glad Jesus didn't have that attitude when he was going to the cross. Amen. To be more holy. That's just something that we all ought to strive to do in our life, to be more holy. Every day we ought to say, Lord, help me to be more holy today. Help me not to think that way. Help me not to talk that way. Help me not to do that again. Amen. Amen. I'll leave it there for now. Got too many to give you. You'll be here till 2, 3 o'clock. Some of you I'm losing already. So we'll leave it at that. We'll trust you have a good afternoon, and we'll trust that you come back tonight. Listen, if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please, 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 I beg of you, I plead with you, get saved.
Amen.
Be saved. Those of you that are listening to us online, please, please, take a few moments. Tell the Lord you're a sinner. He knows it anyway, but you need to tell him that. It just humbles you to the point where God can accept you. And realize that you are a sinner and Jesus died for you. He shed his blood for you. He gave his life for you. Ask him to save you. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Tell him you're sorry for what you've done in your life. And say, Lord, you don't have to name all of those sins to God. You don't have to do all of that. You just need to recognize the fact that you are a sinner and he died for your sins. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. It's like Jesus was hanging on the cross, dying when I was sinning. It was like he was looking in the future at me and at you and at all of us. Boy, he's a good God. He provided a way of salvation for all. It's up to you to accept him. It's up to you to trust him as your Lord and Savior. Christian, it's up to you whether you're going to live this Christian life or not. It's your choice. But don't sit there and say, I can't do it. You know what word I wish that every Christian would get out of their vocabulary? Can't. I've heard so many Christians say, I just can't come to church. I just can't read my Bible like you want us to read our Bible. I just can't pray like that. I just can't pass out a tract. I just can't invite somebody to church. I just can't do nothing. You just can't do nothing, can you? Good night. Come on. Remove can't from your vocabulary and start saying, I can do this. I can read my Bible and I can be in church. You can run off to Walmart and run off here and do all these other things, but you can't come to church. Yes, you can if you really want to. Amen. You can read your Bible if you really want to. Turn off your TV for a while and watch and read the Bible. Yeah. There's a lot of things that you as a Christian, I as a Christian can do. We just need to stop saying I can't do it. Because you can. Father, thank you again for the message. Thank you, Lord, for you're such an amazing God. You're so patient with us. Long-suffering with us. And Lord, you're not willing that any should perish, but that all